Welcome to Polesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Polesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Polesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. In his message titled, Build Up, Reverend David Williams tells us that it is hard to ignore the pressure that comes from a world that is focused on tearing down others. We need to push aside the bad impulses and show forth grace, love, and care. Strive to see every soul as a child of God. Go out and be the one that builds up others. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we gather today in this place, as we come into this place of grace and stillness and reflection, we come out of a world, we take a pause from a world that is so very focused on tearing down. Our world is filled with conflict, is filled with aggression, is filled with people striving and clawing and tearing at one another. And it's so easy for that spirit to manifest itself in us. It's so easy for us to become that anger, for us to be bitter and resentful, and for us to turn on others rather than supporting them, caring for them, and sustaining them. So right now in this place, in this moment, let's admit that that spirit of tearing down can rest heavy on our souls and can turn us away from grace and set us down paths that are not what Jesus intends at all. Let's admit this using the prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying. Gracious Lord, we move through countless little moments in our lives. They flutter by, and we pay little attention, and we move on. But those instants of life and those simple moments count. How we choose to live them matters. How we act in every moment defines our relationship to both you and our neighbor. Yet in our anxious struggle to do everything and to be everything, we often miss the right choice. Rather than manifesting your loving kindness, we express our anger or our bitterness. Rather than speaking your truth, we bend our words to serve our interests. Help us find your wisdom and help us choose the good. Help us, gracious one, because we are so easily distracted. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Listen for the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Ephesians. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. That's Ephesians 4, 25 through 5, 2. You can follow along on page 194 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations and the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was a good week, this last week. Not that I don't like being here with y'all, because I do. But it was just about a perfect beach week. There was no rain. For the first time in recent memory, there wasn't a single day that was a washout. Just day after day of glorious sun, and those clear skies meant sand and ocean every day, which was both great and also challenging because I need those rainy days to make my way through my stack of books. You know, it's harder to make the, I'm not going to go to the beach. I've got another 100 pages in the third of the four books I want to finish before I leave. It just made it a little more challenging. Not impossible, just a little more challenging. It was an almost entirely cloud-free week. But with an exception, there was this one cloud, a cloud that we sort of knew was going to be there, and it's the cloud that hovers over parents who are on the verge of having the last of their offspring leave. Because this year's beach trip was a signpost. It was one we'd been anticipating for years. It had stood as the far future event that would occur just before the moment where our home suddenly fell quiet. All of the singing and drumming and laughter of young men enjoying each other's company falls into the realm of memory. Because by this time next week, both of the boys are going to be gone. They move Elijah to Richmond on Saturday. And that's just weird. It's a weird feeling. The moment this time just sort of snuck up on us, you know? It's like, how did this come? This was supposed to be a far future event. It sneaks up in the same way that, you know, when the little guy, when Elijah turned 18 earlier this month, I realized that technically at least, we no longer had any children. They're adults. We no longer have any children. So I shared this insight with my wife. Which was an indication that, technically at least, I haven't quite learned when it's best not to say everything that occurs to me. Whichever way, that era when we were raising children in a home together is fading like the last light of evening. And this is something we want. I mean, it's something we're looking forward to. It's kind of been the purpose of raising our progeny from tiny little people into being adults. That's the point. You spend this large chunk of your adult life pouring your hopes and your energy and an astounding amount of food into these boys. And it's still amazing when they're not tiny, they're larger than you. And then they're starting to surprise you with things that you didn't teach them, How do they know that? I didn't teach them that. Why are they the only source of modern music that I actually seem to have now? And they're driving and they're working and they've got their own path and all of that, that whole journey, which seems to have suddenly and abruptly come to an almost end, the whole experience is about building up. It's what you're doing. You are spending 18 plus years seeing the gifts and graces and these amazing creatures that somehow came from you, and you're pouring support and energy into them, and it's all about building up what they have and who they are. And some of it's negation, I will admit that. There's some of it that's, you know, don't run across the street, do not run with a stick in your hand, do not hit your brother. The Star Wars prequels are an abomination to all that's good and true. I mean, there's truths you have to convey, things you need to tell kids to avoid. But raising them mostly wasn't about what we were saying no to, but what we were encouraging and supporting and sustaining. If your child has a strong sense of justice, you say, yeah. If a child is musical, you listen. And it's hard at first, particularly if violin or drums, or there was a brief period of trombone in there. It's hard, but you listen and you encourage. Or if there's athleticism, you celebrate and support. Or if they've got an unusual facility with Lego, it's like, you know, oh, they're going to be an engineer. It's great. That passed. All of it's about building up. And we should all know this. We do all know this. But yet when we look around at the world, and particularly looking at the world we live in from this vantage point of watching them go, it strikes me that though we know it's necessary, we're strangely not good at replicating that in our other ways of relating to people. Here, building is so vital, so essential, so necessary. And we look around at our world and the way human beings relate to each other, and so much is exactly the opposite. It's all tearing down. It's all deconstructing and trolling one another and finding faults. It's all critique. And this is why you're doing it wrong. And the energies of our society, so focused on tearing down, just roar and rage and burn, and we attack one thing after another. And it feels like it's just this sink of mutually annihilating negativity. And that's been true for a very long time. Long enough, I think, that in this odd letter to the church at Ephesus, the first early members of the Jesus movement are being told, don't do that. Live differently. This letterish thingamy that is Ephesians is one of what Bible scholars call Deuteropauline writings. That means this isn't Paul. It's probably a disciple of Paul writing in his name. And there are a lot of reasons to believe that. One, the letter of Ephesians itself says, you know, the apostolic period, it's over, which would be weird if it was written by Paul, because he's an apostle. And how would that even work? But mostly, you know, this isn't Paul because of the way the writing presents itself. If you've read a bunch of books, and I made my way through 4 books at the beach, lots of good time there, you can tell authors' voices from each other. If you're reading one person, they've got a voice, and the next person has a different voice, and you can just tell. And this isn't Paul. Paul was a sharp rhetorician. He'd been trained in the classical Roman and Greek styles of persuasive speech, and his writing is sharp and brilliant and often hard, but hard in a specific way. He's drawing you out, challenging you. Ephesians, though, whoever wrote this, they had what is probably best described as an idiosyncratic style and vocabulary. There are sentences in this book that you cannot read without taking three breaths or passing out. One of the more notable features of Ephesian style is this tendency for words to just pour out. If the author is just excited, they got all the stuff they want, and they give you these thoughts that ramble on. They circle and they churn. It's this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. It's a great gushing stream of energy. It doesn't really matter that the specifics of who wrote this are lost to us, because it's still scripture, and it's written from the perspective of someone who was shaped and formed by the teachings of Paul and the teachings of Jesus. The author of this letter shows us here as Christians from the place where Christianity was still burning hot and new, this is how you are to live this life. Once you've had the audacity to assert that you're a disciple of Christ. And from this place in the early church, what we're shown is a way of life that is relentlessly affirming, relentlessly positive. Here, in verse after verse, the author of Ephesians tells us this is how you live together, both when you're church and when you're interacting with your neighbors. To be authentically Christian, there are things you have to do. You've got to cling to truth, not the convenience of a lie that serves you, not anything other than what is true. Hold on to that and share what you're sure of. And when your anger surfaces, and it doesn't say you can never get angry, does not say that. It says, when anger arises in you, when something challenges you, it's okay that it's there, but don't let it be there at the end of the day when you lie down to rest. And that's really, really good relationship advice. I haven't always heeded it, and whenever I've made that mistake, it's been worse the next day. Go, don't let that sustain in you. And from Ephesians we hear, don't attack. Don't shame each other. Don't be cruel. There's no space here in these moral teachings for snark or sarcasm or mockery. We hear instead truth, gentleness, an honest labor that serves the purpose of caring for others. All of this, turn to the service of building up, not just those in the church around you, but building up every neighbor, showing grace, supporting those who are near you. And Ephesians gives this in cycling language, pouring out encouragement as the fundamental moral injunction of the Christian ethical life. We get a summary at the end. Whenever you see the word therefore in something that was written in Greek, that means we're summarizing now. And it's, be imitators of God as beloved children, live in love as Christ loved us. That's just such a simple thing. As simple as raising kids, right? Which is to say, it's not really simple at all. It's a challenge for us to live this graciously. But it is a vital and necessary truth, and something I think that was obviously important in Ephesus, but it's doubly important to hold on to in a time when our society seems to teach just the opposite. We don't see much of this out in the world. We see self-interested deceptions. We see bullying. We see verbal attacks, all just par for the course as we seem to be descending into this crude brutalism that we see everywhere, all the way to the top. Attacking and slandering and tearing down are presented as completely acceptable so long as you're attacking, slandering, and tearing down the right people. Because everybody does it, and if everybody does it, why shouldn't I do it? I mean, you don't parent for that long before you don't accept that argument. And it's tough. It's tough in this culture. I mean, tearing down and attacking is Twitter's entire business model. But it's something we have to step away from. The moral norms of decency and goodness and honesty and grace are things that you try to inculcate and encourage and build up in your friends and in your children. And they are things that you personally hold to, no matter what. Because those are the foundations from which we build ourselves up in grace. And from that foundation can build up others. As I watch the boys go off into the world, as I watch them out there, that's the hope I have for them, that as Rach and I have worked to build them and sustain them and support them, that somehow those building blocks of grace and decency will sustain them and be something that they can pass on to others as they move into our fractious and challenging world. That's the hope I have for my kids, and I think as a child of God, it's the hope that God has for each of us, that we will be built up by that spirit of grace, so much so that we build others. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
So hard to get away from the impulse to take things apart, to go after in anger those things that you find frustrating, or that you want to just, and everybody's mad, and it's so hard in this culture to pull away from that. We are so steeped in it. And yet, from the church at Ephesus today, we hear a different message. Show forth grace, and in everything you do, build up. As children of God, loved by God, approach everyone with that same spirit. And it seems so straightforward, but we have so much trouble with it. And the metric I always hold for myself is, can I love and care for and build up others as deeply as I do the same for my own flesh and blood? And the answer is, God help me, I don't totally know. But it's the thing I have to strive for. Viewing every soul as another child of God, as another person, as beloved of God, as my own kids are loved by me. And that's very straightforward and really, really hard to do, like all of the gospel. And so this week, as we step out into a world that is rife with conflict and anger and bitterness, and that seems so filled with spirits of hate, go out and be the one that builds up. Because the children of God out there
our neighbors need that. They need to feel that Christ coming from you. So go and be that this week in the world. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you this day and always. Amen.